Okay, I'm now allowed to stand up and welcome Jean, who's going to be sharing from God's word this morning. Can we pray for you, Jean? Yeah, great. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for Jean and her ministry amongst us and your call upon her life. We pray, Lord, as she shares from your word, give us ears to hear and hearts that are ready to receive this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Morning, everyone. Morning. Wow. Well, the team that prayed and worked on our vision and values came up with this statement about prayer. We believe through prayer, God will speak, heal, and transform us and the world. Well, some of you may remember that a few years ago, we spent several weeks looking at different aspects of prayer, such as using the scriptures, praying forgiving prayers, praying in faith, facing difficulties in prayer, and wondering when we think prayers aren't answered. We looked at prayers in the Bible and the prayers that Jesus prayed. And we saw how much a part of his life prayer was. Another time we looked at private prayer and corporate prayer. And we talked about persistent prayer and arrow prayers and using acronyms like ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. Then there's prayers for healing and wholeness and prayers for the needs of the world and meditation and using liturgy. So you'll be pleased to know we're not going to cover all those subjects this morning, but we're going to use this passage from James to have our thoughts on. Following the death of our gracious Queen, I was reminded of the words of the national anthem, God save our gracious Queen, long live our noble Queen. Well, didn't God powerfully answer that prayer, giving us 70 years of her reigning over us and serving her people? She firmly believed in prayer, and a quote she made says, God invites us to talk to him in prayer so that he can answer our prayers too. She wholeheartedly believed in the power of prayer, and we surely are a church that believes that prayer changes things. We believe God calls us to pray, and we believe that God hears and answers prayer. Don't we?
Amen.
Can I have a little bit bigger amen? Amen. Thank you. And it was so encouraging last week when Janice came and testified about the going to last month's monthly Hour of Power prayer meeting. How she'd went very tired, exhausted, not really wanting to go. But she was so buzzed up by that prayer meeting that she felt exhilarated and encouraged us to pray. James makes three claims here. He points to three categories of prayer. What we should do when we're in trouble, what we should do when we're happy, and what we should do when we're ill. Well, that pretty much covers every aspect of life for all of us, because we've all had troubles of one sort or other, and we're all a bit wary about what's going to happen with these worrying future times with the forecast increases. And likewise, I'm sure that many of us have times of joy, of happiness, which has made us want to sing for joy. And all of us have been either sick ourselves or watched a loved one be sick and go through sickness and pain. And James's answer to all those categories is we should pray. So the principle here is whatever is happening in our lives, prayer is the right response. It's the right response because one ancient definition says, prayer is keeping company with God through our troubles, through our joys and happinesses, and when we're sick. Because we believe God hears and answers prayer, don't we?
Amen.
So, when a person is sick, James says in verse 14, they should call for the leaders of the church to pray over them. And he highlights the use of anointing oil, which was both medicinal, as seen in the parable of the Good Samaritan, and sacramental. For us, it's a powerful symbol representing the healing power of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just leaders or elders who are called into this ministry. Because verse 16 says, pray for each other. And that's directed at everyone who received that letter all those years ago. But it's directed at you and me as well today. Pray for each other. James also highlights the fact that it's not just the faith of the sick person that makes them well, but the faith of those praying. And that takes away the pressure or guilt from the person who's sick, because they can rely on the faith of those praying for them. And healing, when it does come, is always a gift from God, who is sovereign over all our troubles, our joys and happinesses, and our sicknesses. Prayer is part of God's healing process. Verse 16 also talks about being accountable to one another, to share with someone in confidence when we're struggling, someone who will listen and who will help guide us by God's word. It's actually probably much easier to confess our sins privately to God than it is to another person. But that seems to be what James is encouraging us to do. He then goes on to talk about effective and powerful praying. It does seem that confessing our sins and praying effectively seem to be connected. And it is true that prayer is powerful. However, the verse doesn't say that prayer itself is powerful and effective, but that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I wonder what that means for you and me today. It means trusting in the blood and righteousness of Christ. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's an absolutely stunning statement, that in him we become righteous. And if we trust in and seek to follow Christ, then every one of us here are righteous in God's sight. And prayer is the means by which God gives you and me the opportunity to make a huge difference in the life of other people and this world. Because we believe God hears and answers prayer, don't we?
Amen.
Well, those of us who are in the prayer for the sick group on a Wednesday morning have certainly seen the effect prayer has had on the lives of those who have called for others to pray for them. We count it a real privilege to be asked to pray for those who are ill. And we're often now being asked to pray for those outside the immediate church family. And what a witness that is to the kingdom of God coming near. Especially as we remember Faye's testimony some months ago about her niece Caitlin following her heart transplant. And it's lovely, week in, week out, we can start with the answers to prayer that we've received. I was pleased to come across a quote recently about prayer from someone called E.M. Bounds. Prayers outlive the lives of those who uttered them. They outlive a generation, outlive an age, outlive a world. That is really powerful, and I was pleased to see that quote, because a few years ago, it had dawned on me that all the many prayers my first husband, Peter Hull, prayed over 25 years ago are still in the process of being answered. They are still before the throne of God. His eyes are still on the prayers that Peter prayed for me and my children. The effectiveness of our prayers don't stop when we die. What a wonderful heritage of prayer you can leave behind, not just your money, your house, your inheritance, but that inheritance of prayer. The many prayers you have prayed over the years are still before the Lord's throne. Pete Gregg said, I am convinced that prayer is not only our greatest privilege, but it is our greatest source of power. Prayer is indeed the Christian's most powerful resource and, amazingly, The results are often far greater than we thought were even possible. Prayer should not be our last resort. It should be the first resort, because God encourages us to pray and seek his face. Because we believe God hears and answers prayer, don't we?
Amen.
So James then gives a real-life example of someone who prayed. He talks about the prophet Elijah, who, when it came to praying, was a man just like we are, a wholehearted, though slightly imperfect, yet righteous follower of God. What Elijah was able to accomplish through prayer is quite astounding and rather intimidating too. To have a whole country suspended in drought for 3.5 years simply because you've prayed is an amazing thing. But isn't it wonderful that James points out that Elijah wasn't Superman or Wonder Woman? On the contrary, he was just like me. He was just like you. He got tired, he got angry, he even failed sometimes. However, there is one thing that made him different. He prayed earnestly, with intensity and tenacity, because Elijah expected his prayers to be answered, as indeed it was. And his prayer changed the weather for 3.5 years. Not a drop of rain fell in all that time. Yet he was just an ordinary person. And James uses this story to inspire, encourage, and challenge us, the church, to pray earnestly. But perhaps some of us are actually feeling a bit discouraged, burnt out, and not really wanting to engage with the Lord in prayer. Elijah prayed, there was no rain. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. There is a wonderful hidden truth there, because it implies that the farmers were willing to sow seeds in the drought, in the dust, in the rocky desert-like conditions, sowing seeds before the rains came, sowing seeds in faith, believing that one day the rains would come. And our prayers can sometimes seem like that, as if we're sowing prayers into the middle of a drought situation where we think nothing is ever going to happen. I'm sure Rita had felt like that this last few months, praying, and still nothing was happening. And now the answer has come. Sowing seeds in the dust through our prayers. Physically, we think nothing is happening. We can't see, there's no water, there's no rain, nothing is growing. But that's not what's happening spiritually, because things are happening. And if we sow the seeds when it does seem dry and barren, they'll be ready in the ground, ready to sprout when the rains come. The refreshing rain of the Holy Spirit, ready to sprout and grow, to shoot and fruit. Our prayers will make a difference. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Years ago when I was grew up in a Baptist church, but don't tell anyone, one of the little choruses we had was, "Raindrops of mercy are falling, but for the showers we plead." We had a bit of a shower coming to church this morning, and that's what we need. Not just raindrops of mercy, but showers of mercy. And how sad it is that we do not pray far more than we do, and we do not pray for more than we do. Malachi 3:10 tells us if we bring the full tithe, a tenth, of our offering to God, that he will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing we will not be able to receive it, because there will be so much. Perhaps we receive little, because we're only thinking in terms of raindrops and not of showers. Perhaps we receive little because we're only asking for little. Just a few pages earlier, verses earlier in chapter 4, James says, well, he makes a bold statement. You do not have because you do not ask God. And yet Jesus in John 14, verse 14 says, you may ask for me anything in my name and I will do it. So we are encouraged to ask God in line with his will, knowing we have the power of the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Then James goes on to encourage us even more to ask for big things. Do you remember the prophet Elisha, who carried on after the prophet Elijah? He once helped a poor widow woman by miraculously filling jars of oil from a tiny little jar of oil that she had. He told her to go to all her neighbors and collect as many jars as she could, and the Spirit filled them. But I came across this little phrase in that passage in 2 Kings, and it said, don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. Implying she should ask for lots and lots and lots and lots, because the more jars she had, the more the jars would be filled with oil and the more profit she would have. If we asked God for really, really big things, and God in his wisdom only granted half of what we asked for, the half of the big things we asked for would be so much bigger than the small, miserly things perhaps we've been asking up to now. God says in Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. God is saying, enlarge your expectations of what I can do in you and through you. Enlarge your faith. Enlarge your experience of praying for healing for others, of praying for world situations. Enlarge your prayers for God's kingdom to come here in Waterslade and in the world. Do you know, it's just a few short months ago on July the 5th that at a parliamentary prayer breakfast, the former Health Secretary Sajid Javid was prompted to resign after being moved by the words of a sermon from the founder of Street Pastors UK, the Reverend Les Isaac. There must have been considerable prayers prayed by many Christians before that prayer breakfast, and look at the result. Because they believed God heard and answered prayer. Do we?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes.
That's why praying together is so important, because it's so powerful, because listening to the prayers of others enlarges and increases our own faith. When we pray together, it enlarges our expectations, and it definitely blesses each other when we pray and worship together. But of course, praying on our own is vitally important as well. Do you remember the story of Jacob, who wrestled with God during the night in Genesis 32? He had sent his wives, his servants, and 11 sons across the stream with all his possessions, so he was quite alone. And sometimes we need to send things away, even good things, so that we can be alone with God and meet with him. Whatever our prayer life feels like right now, God encourages us to wrestle with him in prayer and to go deeper in prayer with him. Elijah teaches us that the prayers that are powerful and effective are the prayers that a righteous person wants to pray. Prayers for the honor of God's name. Prayers for the devotion of his people and for the salvation of the lost. It's a wonderful privilege to pray according to God's purposes as his desires become our desires. And then, what a wonder to watch as things change, as God responds to our prayers. And sometimes, of course, it has to be said, God uses us to answer those prayers. So as righteous people, we have lots of opportunities to pray here at Pip and Jim's, in home groups, in the monthly Hour of Power prayer meeting, at the missionary prayer meeting once a month, online with morning prayers at 8 a.m. on Zoom, with prayer for the sick group on Wednesdays at 10, also on Zoom, and before the service in church, at 9:30 in the vestry. And I'm sure there are many other opportunities. And there are prayer apps for your quiet times like YouVersion and Lectio 365 to help. Because we believe God hears and answers prayers, don't we? And we can pray on behalf of our nation, pray prayers of gratitude, pray for people to hear God's word. We can pray for an end to this terrible war in Ukraine, for our new prime minister and those in new roles in government, and for the current financial situation. Of course, prayer is not a means to get what we want. It's the mean to line up our prayers in line with what is on God's heart. And I think that's what Bridget started her intercessions with. Then we can have confidence that our prayers will be heard and answered. It does seem, doesn't it, rather illogical to think that praying out loud to an unseen God will bring healing for health issues or a change in the world situation or affect those in authority or whatever we feel led by the Spirit to ask for. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, that our faith would not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And that's where we should be directing our eyes and our expectations and our energies. God and his power through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember that principle at the beginning? Whatever is happening in our lives, prayer is the right response. In Isaiah chapter 56, God speaks to the foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, who love the name of the Lord and worship him, who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to his covenant. God goes on to say, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Well, having already prepared this sermon and typed those words, house of prayer, I had an email from Andrew who shared with me a picture he had of a lighthouse. That's why there's been that lighthouse picture in the corner. And he wrote to me, "A lighthouse warns ships of danger ahead so that the ship changes course to save lives." In Matthew 5:14, Jesus calls the disciples and us the light of the world. We are a people who have a mission, ministry, and calling to shine the light of salvation. But any lighthouse or any light needs fuel to operate effectively. And if Pip and Jim's is to be the light of the world in this area, then the fuel that ignites our mission and ministry and calling is prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be God's house of prayer in Wolderslade. So may the Holy Spirit stir in each of us a deep hunger for prayer, a hunger to pray for our vision and strategy as we continue to look at other topics in the coming weeks, to see that whatever is happening around us in our own lives and the world around, prayer is the right response. May the Holy Spirit show us that God is on the move, so that we all do everything we can to make this church here at Pip and Jim's a house of prayer as we pray for each other and the needs of the world. And let's faithfully sow those seeds of prayer, even if it feels like a time of drought, so that the Holy Spirit can water the ground when the time is right, looking for the signs of the shoots and fruits. And let's be encouraged and enlarge our expectations of what God can do. And let's not just ask for a few jars, but think big and pray big. Let's get really excited to see God at work as we pray together as righteous people, praying in faith and expecting God to hear, answer, and do great things. Remembering the more we pray now, that wonderful legacy of prayer we will leave behind us. So let's keep praying, because we believe through prayer God will speak, heal, and transform us and the world. Don't we?
Amen.
Amen.